Boy, this is a large, unruly crowd. Don't know if I can handle it. If everybody take their seats, please. We're about to get started. I'll talk real slow in case somebody else is coming. I'd like to welcome everybody to the 2024 Crested Butte News KBUT Candidates Forum. I would like to thank a whole bunch of folks for making it happen, including Crested Butte News, my boss, Mark Riemann, KBUT Radio with Kate Knapp and Chad Rich. Chad will be running a microphone around to each of you. When you have a question, you put up your hand and Chad will attend. I'd like to thank the Center for the Arts and Tracy Hastings for helping us put this thing together. And I would like to thank the candidates for showing up for yet another forum. And of course, you voters out there. So thank you all very much. The rules for tonight, first of all, I got to say, if there's any personal attacks, I'm going to jump all over it like a bad smell. And I don't think there will be any personal attacks. It's too small an audience. So here's the rules. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes for an opening introductory statement. Answers to questions, the candidate's answers will be given 1.5 minutes for each candidate, and if you need to follow up for some reason, you can have another minute. Everyone will be allowed to weigh in on any given question, but you don't have to. That's for you guys. Diane Markowitz over here will be keeping track of time, and she will stick up a sign that says 30-second warning, and then time is up when your time is up. Chad Rich will be running the mic, like I said, and then we're going to try something new this year. At around 7 o'clock, we're going to... each candidate will ask one question, if he wants, of his opponent. The opponent, of course, would get first crack at answering, but anyone on the panel is allowed to answer it if they want. So let's begin with our opening introductory statements. And we'll start at the far end with... Who have I got down there at the far end? Liz Smith.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. One thing that I've learned in my first term as a commissioner is that it's not enough to just identify problems and issues. It's how we dig into the details and complexity of those problems and issues. It's how we develop policy to form meaningful solutions that really matters. And this is where the stability of our values and our community that we care about or the changes that we want to see really happen. I'm really proud of the work that I've done in my first term. Through our county strategic plan, we're aggressively pursuing some of our biggest issues like workforce housing shortages and the difficulty of accessing quality and affordable early childhood education. I don't doubt that everybody up on this stage tonight loves our community. Most of us, I think, can also agree on the problems and issues that we're facing. I don't think we have the same ideas about policies to solve for them. I'm running for re-election because I care deeply and I know these issues and how they impact our community. As a mom, I understand the cost and lack of access to childcare. As an outdoor enthusiast, I know how important it is to protect our public lands. And as someone who experienced housing and food insecurity as a child, I know better than most what a lot of people in our community have experienced in recent years and before. To not have that self-sufficiency and to be facing daily trade-offs. I'm running because I listen, I work incredibly hard, and I've proven myself to be effective. I hope I can earn your vote and continue that work.
Thank you, Liz. Lisa Henry, please.
Good evening, and thank you all for being here. My name is Lisa Henry. I moved here 39 years ago to go to Western. I moved here from Stuttgart, West Germany, where I attended high school with a family. I was in a military family after I lost both my parents at the age of 13, 21 days apart. I know what it's like to not know what your future looks like, but I also know what it takes to be full of grit, be full of grace, and to be thankful for what we have. I came here because I really found Gunnison to be something of a place where I could find some roots, get down and dig deep. I met my husband 34 years ago. We've been married for 34 years, so we met 36 years ago. He was born and raised here. His family came here to bring TV. They worked in the TV station and helped bring TV to this community. So we know what it's like. My husband has worked for the county for 38 years. And so we know, I know what it's like. I know that when they closed that bridge on April 18th, my husband went to work at 6:40 in the morning and came home at 11:45 that night because he was on County Road 26, making sure that that started to get open. We know firsthand what it's like to live here, to work here, to raise our three children here, and to send them off because there was nothing for them. I gave them a foundation, a strong, solid foundation, and what they build on top of that. I know that they'll have good, stable, they'll be able to build their life the way they want to and the way they can because they have a good, solid foundation. And that's from knowing where you come from, knowing who you be, and just being grateful that you can come to a place like Gunnison and bring some roots.
Thank you. And now, Jonathan Halk, if you'd like to give your introductory statement, please.
Sure. Thanks. It's good to see everyone. I want to thank KBUT, the Crested Butte News, and the Center. Thanks for having us. It's good to see some familiar faces in the crowd. And for those one or two that I don't know, I'm Jonathan Halk. And for 32 years, I've been incredibly lucky to call the Gunnison Valley home. And for the last 12 years, I've been really honored to serve as your county commissioner in District 2. Like a lot of folks, Western is what brought me here. And that experience really kind of molded and shaped me as a non-traditional student. And some of the things that happened during my tenure as a student really laid a foundation for me to understand some of the challenges that I face on your behalf as a commissioner. I worked in food service. I worked in retail. You know, I worked construction to pay for school and understand a lot of the mechanics that make this place work. I taught for the school district for 12 years. I helped start an alternative school program. After that, I left that program and went to work for juvenile services along with my friend, Brooke McMillan. We started the Choice Pass program together, and it was at that time I ran for commissioner in 2012, and I was really honored to be elected overwhelmingly by the community here and have been serving in this position ever since. My main approach to governance is, one, I listen first. Two, we have to activate voices of people in the community, not just those that can show up at a meeting on a Tuesday morning at 8:30, but the whole community. And we use the One Valley process to reach out to the community. And my focus has been on identified issues that the community's brought forward. And I've been action-oriented on affordable housing, ranching, water and wildlife, climate action and facing the climate challenges that we have, public lands and sustainable tourism, and increasing health equity and access to health care, not just physical health, but also mental health. It's pretty easy for me. I love living in Gunnison County, and I'm incredibly blessed that I've spent essentially my entire adult life here. My wife, Roanne, who many of you know, she was born and raised here in Crested Butte. And her and I have raised our kids here. Our daughter Iris is a junior at CU, and our son Porter is finishing up his senior year at Gunnison High School. And, you know, I want to stress that you guys know me and you see me in town. You see me on the chairlift. You see me on the bus. You see me when we have street parties to celebrate Red Lady. I'm accessible. I do the work, and I'm here, and I'm looking forward to the discussions we'll have tonight around the topics and the issues that are most important to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. And finally, Steve Bechy. If you'd give us your statement, please.
Sure. First of all, thank you, everybody, for showing up. It's really nice to be able to see some familiar faces. Sorry about that. Other ones probably don't know who I am, but my name is Steve Bechy. I've been part of the Gunnison community when the family moved here in 1977. I can remember Crested Butte when it was very, very small. I can remember CB South when all that was there was a cabin for Snow Beast. Anybody remember seeing Snow Beast, the movie? Okay, good. I mean, our fame there. I've been involved in various other activities. I was on Met Rec District for years. For 10 years, I was instrumental in bringing downlink into the community, cleaning up the signal. I was also very instrumental of changing the charter or the charter statement and becoming a full rec board. And we then started helping with Shade for Blades was our first one. We helped with the CB South Ice Rink, the Crested Butte Ice Rinks, a lot of other projects throughout the community, including climbing walls. We, as a member here, I moved back to Gunnison in 1993 after I was working in Denver, so I kind of understand the big city and the small town, and I love calling Gunnison home. I didn't have to come back, but I came back to run the family business of a machine shop, and some of you have been in there. I am also president and board of directors for the Gunnison Sportsman Association, which several of our audience members I noticed are part of. And I look forward to listening to you and hearing your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I have a couple of, I have three questions here in front of me. I bet one of them is the person who wrote it is going to ask it. So I'm going to open it up to questions to the audience, and if things slow down too much, then you'll have to hear from me again. So if you want to ask a question, stick your hand up in the air. No questions, great. Oh, there's a question. I knew that would... That would pop up. All right, Jim Starr.
Yes, this would be for the folks who are not currently commissioners. Round is first.
I don't see Ed up there.
Can we hear it? You guys hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
I treat it like an ice cream cone.
Put it right by your lips, Jim.
Okay. When I was first running for county commissioner, I made a point of going and meeting with all of the department heads to find out what their job descriptions were, how they worked together, how they thought about the county, improvements they thought could be made. I wanted to ask the two new candidates here if you've had the opportunity to do that, and if you have. And the second part here, if you know the titles that those folks are referred to by now.
Thank you, Jim. Who wants it? Who wants to start?
Well, I'll start with it.
Go for it, Steve.
Okay, no problem. You know what? I'm more from the working class. I run my own business, and I go out there, and I actually talk to the workers. I don't talk to department heads. Department heads will tell you, oh, everything is peachy keen and, oh, it's perfect and not a problem. Go talk to the workers. The workers are the ones that will sit there and go, no, we're understaffed. We need to do this here. This isn't working. That's not working. I went up there and I've talked to various people on Road and Bridge, through the finance department, treasury department. I've also talked with people in the at the hospital. So I get a better understanding exactly where the working class people are. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I wouldn't get a fair answer from the administrators, but I like to bypass them. When I had problems with other types of employment I had one boss that just says, if you don't like it, you go talk to the big boss. And I actually did. And he goes, nobody ever does that. Why did you do that? I'm like, because you said if I didn't like your answer, go find out. So my communications degree from Western and my background in television, it goes into the investigation part. I go out there and I'll find out the answers. I want to hear from these people. And since these people know who I am, they're going to be honest with me. They're not going to sugarcoat things for me. And I do appreciate that. And I'm willing to listen to both sides. I'm not, even though it's a Republican versus a Democrat out there, we're all in the same boat here. We're all care about Gunnison community.
Thank you, Steve. Does anybody else want to weigh in?
I can, since you asked the question of those of us who are running who are not currently serving in the position. I have not gone into their office, but I can tell you that I meet a lot of them where I work and where I live. My husband, like I said, works for the county for 38 years. I know a lot of these people personally. I've been here for 39 years. We're friends, we're family, we're neighbors, and most of those department heads are now their title would be assistant county managers would be what their would be what some of those department heads are now referred to as, just to answer your question.
Thank you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Okay, any more questions out there in the audience? Chad, back all the way in back.
That close.
Okay, that close. Thanks for having the forum. I would ask each of the candidates, what are your two biggest priorities as you think about serving as a county commissioner for the next 4 years? The two things that you would most emphasize and that if you accomplished, you would feel like you were successful in that role.
Thank you. Who wants to jump in first? If you don't do it,
I can.
Okay, sure. Go for it, Jonathan.
So, thanks for the question. Thanks for serving on the trustees as well. Appreciate that. Without a doubt, my answers are predicated on what the community has said, because we reach out to the community through lots of different mechanisms, countywide. And when I say countywide, outside the corridor as well. So I'm talking Marble, the Cimarron country, over into Somerset, the Quartz Creek Valley. And undoubtedly, housing is the number one issue in our community, in all of Colorado, across the Mountain West. It's the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues in our country. And so the leadership role, and I think this is something that really differentiates me from Steve, is I make no bones about it. The county should be involved in housing, and that's not just building housing, it's preserving housing. We've worked on some regulatory measures to make development easier, but housing is the number one issue. And then I would say the other issue, I think, and it's broad, but it touches everything, is public lands and public lands management. When you live in a county that's 1.5 times the size of Delaware, and 82% of the land is federal public lands, I've been involved in planning efforts with the Forest Service, the BLM, the Park Service. And who does that touch? That touches ski area permitting, forest health, our watershed. Without a doubt, ranching, grazing, the ability for us to have clean air and clean water, everything that we have here, the university, every single economic driver, and really the reason I think most of us choose to live here, somehow touches back to public lands. And what we're watching is less and less being invested at the federal level in the management of our public lands. And so for me, you know, the ability to supplement and create opportunities to help co-manage our public lands with the STORE committee and other things that we've brought into play over the last couple of years has been essential. Affordable housing, public lands.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak to it?
I will jump in as well. And Jonathan, it's a little frustrating because workforce housing is obviously, I think, really critical. So I'm going to acknowledge that, but then choose another thing so that we don't say the same things. I do want to go in a slightly different direction when it comes to protecting public lands. I think that there are a lot of challenges that we're facing when it comes to balancing the pressures that we're facing with recreation, tourism, agriculture. So one example that I can bring up was a Senate bill that came up in this past legislative session, and it was Senate Bill 24213, if you want to look it up. But it proposed to not allow counties to enforce short-term rental regulations and potentially even land use codes for structures that described themselves as recreational. It was quite alarming. It had a lot of momentum. It would have turned the backcountry in Colorado into a free-for-all. And so our intervention without Gunnison County, I don't think that that bill would have been stopped. The other issue that I would just point to is mental health. And I've been very active in that space, both when it comes to child fatality review teams, child welfare, making sure that we can connect resources to the children. I have a 9-year-old and 10-year-old now, and so we can see what an issue that is. And then in addition, just the opioid crisis, that's another space that I've been very active in. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Anybody else? Steve, you want to?
Sure, I'll jump in there. One of the things that I've been very vocal, as Jonathan did say, is that I don't believe that the government should be building housing. You're competing against the private sector. And anytime the government ever builds anything, it always takes twice as long, costs twice as much, and it's always built by the lowest bidder. Trust me, I know this. I work for the Department of Defense, and that's how they work. Everything has to be done with an open bidding. Now, there's not, well, instead of us building it, we should be able to work with the private sector and say, hey, what can we do to make it easier and less expensive for you to build in the Gunnison community? And what's that answer? I'm not sure yet. But there's ways that we can work this out. I've talked to people in the banking industry, in the building industry. It can be done. And we don't need to be building it and being landlords. The other thing people ask about is our public lands and such. Very important. You know, that's why we're all here, like Jonathan said. I agree with him on that. We're here because we love a community, and we love the openness of Gunnison and Crested Butte area. But we need to control that also. And it's kind of rough some days, and like they've done a great job, but it can be done more. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Lisa, do you want to weigh in?
My two would be, and my biggest one would be cost of living. If anybody knows me, I am Main Street. I work down there. I listen to the problems that people are facing. We are short-staffed as it is. And then people come in and they say, you know what? The owner just sold the house that I'm living in that we rent out from underneath us, and we have to find a place to live, and we can't. So we probably won't be on this schedule because we can't afford to live here. And when you look at the options of, hey, we have affordable housing, and their mouth drops open, and they're like, hey, whose housing are they affording? Because it's not us. These are the people that I know. These are the people that I work with. These are the stories and the phone calls that I get early in the morning, late at night, that it's just not affordable. No one really understands where this definition of affordability is coming into play. Because I also have a really, 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 she's one of my very best friends. They're a family of four. They're about to be a family of five. They rent and they want to buy. They're thinking of moving. My friends have sold their businesses and they're moving. They're moving to a different state because they can't afford to build here because of the regulations and the policies, and they're being forced out. That is the reason that I'm sitting in this chair today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. I've had the opportunity to look at two of the questions that were sent in, and I love them both, so I'm going to give the audience a break here and ask them. I'm going to ask the easiest one first. Excuse me. Here's the question. Would you as a commissioner support a county ballot measure to change the percentage of funds allocated to TAP to decrease the amount we spend on marketing the valley and increase the amount for affordable housing and local worker child care from the current 40% up to the 90% per Colorado law? If not, what is the right percentage of those funds to use for marketing versus helping locals with housing and child care? Do you guys want me to repeat that? Did you get it? Okay, well, it's a complicated question. Who wants it first? That's the easy one. That is the easy one, trust me. Who wants it first?
I'll hop in.
Liz?
No, I would not support a change. I was on the board that put that ballot measure out to the people, that question, with the 40% in there. And I understand, and I have heard from a lot of people who believe that we should be investing more of those resources into areas like housing. What I can say is that we have leveraged the amount that we've put in there to go incredibly far. So combining $1 million of local marketing district funds with our ARPA funding has allowed us to create a housing project in Gunnison that, when the debt service is paid off, will produce more than $500,000 a year. And so, to me, that is a very good investment. Leveraging those funds is necessary in order for it to go anywhere. What we collect in local marketing district is not enough to solve any of these issues. I would also say that, you know, we are looking like tourism is taking a little bit of a dip. And so it's really important for us to not disinvest in the thing that is bringing those resources into the community. We want to be thoughtful about it. We want to expand the shoulder seasons and make this a place where visitors can come, enjoy this place, and not overwhelm it. And so that balance is incredibly important. But we are not on the I-70 corridor, and I do think that it is important that we continue to invest in the marketing that has made this this community successful when it comes to bringing visitors here.
Thank you, Liz. Who else wants it?
I will. I'll jump in because actually something Liz and I probably agree on because, again, I work on Main Street, and I have seen what the last 5 years have done. If you wonder why there's a dip in tourism, maybe we should look at the last 5 years in Highway 50 and the businesses that are hurting and the faces that we don't see in those businesses. I've heard from the business owners. I've spoken with them. They come in and they have lunch, or we come and we go next door, or they come and grab a Coke or whatever. And in the month of June this year, had a business owner tell me that their revenue was down $12,000 the month of June this year compared to last year. $12,000 makes or breaks your winter, folks. It just does. If you're a Main Street business and your property taxes are going up and the people that are walking into your store are going down, and what can you blame it on? And I've been asked that question a million times. What can you blame it on? Well, you know, when the highway signs across the state of Colorado say Gunnison is closed, they're not coming here. But maybe we should have said we're still open and we're come and stay and play. Come see what we got. Come see what we have to offer you. And maybe that needs to be part of what we do to get those people here. We love our tourist season, but we love when that brings in many businesses on Main Street. Their summer pays for their winter because we don't see a lot of people in there. Down in Gunnison, up here it's different. It's flip-flopped. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Jonathan, you want to crack at it?
Sure. So one important thing to understand, TAP revenue comes from people staying and lodging in Gunnison County. So short-term rentals, hotels, motels, 4% lodging tax, that's where it comes in from. That piece of legislation, that state piece of legislation, started here in Gunnison County with John Mesner, myself, and then Liz and I kind of got it across the finish line at the end. But it's important to understand why the range goes up to 90%. There were other counties who their ski area or their chamber markets their place, they wanted to be able to run a bill to collect more money to put to affordable housing. They already have marketing covered. We're in a different situation. So last year, we decided to take about 30%, I think it was 28-point-something% of the total revenues from TAP from that year and put that towards housing, which means the money they have left for this year, this is what their budget is, proposed budget. 57% will be marketing. 33% is actually economic development for local and emerging businesses coming out of the ICE lab and working with local businesses that exist here. 5% goes to store, which does a lot of our trail maintenance and working with our land managers, and then 5% to general work. But what I want to say is the reason I wouldn't take it back to the ballot for more is what the lesson we learned from the Colorado Tourism Office. In 1992, they said, we're Colorado, we don't have to market this place, and they eliminated that. And it took the state about 10 to 12 years to recover from not marketing itself. We market to people who want to be here, who share our values. And what we're having right now is our actual visitor numbers are going down while our revenues go up. So that's what we'd like to see. We like to see less people, more money. So this is a long topic that a minute and 30 seconds or 2 minutes of which I'm out of is hard to cover. And I hope we get to revisit this one some more because there's a lot of detail here that matters.
I bet we can. Steve, I'd like to hear what you have to say for
sure. Yes, our tourism is what drives our community right now. I'm doing it a little bit different way because we're not actually touching all the tourism that can be actually be done. People keep forgetting that, you know what, they look at the ski area and they think Colorado, and I'm not just picking on Crested Butte now, I'm picking on the whole state. They always sit there and say, you know, come to Colorado and you can ski. Well, the hunting that we have in this community and in Colorado is phenomenal. Our hunters bring in almost as much as skiers bring in a shorter amount of time. So just think about that. The other thing I don't like about sometimes is that sometimes we kind of milk our tourists for more money. It's like, come on, we just tax them more. Come on, we want more, more, more from them. And eventually they sit back and go, oh my God, how much is this going to cost me? And no, I don't think I'm going to go to Colorado this year, and we don't like how this is, or it's too expensive for that there. Or there's not enough jobs and people aren't working, and so we can't get into a restaurant. There are a lot of things that we can work with into there, and I believe that we're missing certain areas right now that can be revised for the tourist also. And like Jonathan said, maybe we can discuss that later on.
Thank you, Steve. All right, back to the audience. You guys got any other questions? Because I got a kicker right here, believe me. Okay, right over there. You got the mic, sir. Susie, you're next.
We need it for, we're recording this